From cash machines in India to car factories in Europe, the software attack continues to disrupt business around the world today. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Authorities are working to identify who introduced a computer worm into computers that locks up the data and holds it for ransom. Older versions of Microsoft Windows are especially vulnerable, as are computers that never got a security patch that became available in March. While the WannaCry software has turned up in thousands of computers in the U.S. and Canada, it hit tens of thousands in Russia and China. In Europe, Renault stopped production at some of its car factories. In India, the banking system fought today to protect its systems. The BBC's Rahul Tandon filed this for us from India today.
I'm outside a cash machine here in Kolkata. It's shut, as are many others across this country. The Reserve Bank of India has told banks here to keep them closed until their software is updated. Currently, more than 60% of them use Windows XP. Production at a major car manufacturing plant was also disrupted, whilst more than 100 computers used by the police in the southern Indian state of Andhra Pradesh were hacked. India has been badly affected by this attack, as 5% of all computers affected by it are here.
Worldwide, there's some progress on limiting the damage.
The version that sort of hit the world Friday morning Europe time can't spread any further now that the internet domain that it was referencing as a kill switch has been registered. So it really only had a few hours of lifetime before it got killed off, which is kind of good news.
Troy Hunt trains organizations in cybersecurity. He's also a Microsoft regional director in Australia. I asked him if computers are immune that actually installed a security patch that Microsoft put out in the middle of March.
This issue was patched almost 2 months before we actually saw this WannaCry variant of ransomware spreading. So you had to actually fall a couple of months behind in your patch cycle to get hit by this thing.
But we often don't install the patches. It's a total pain in the, you know.
Well, this is why it's so automated. I mean, most modern-day operating systems, most modern-day software products update on their own. Really, the lesson here is that for individuals, at least, if they didn't turn off the automatic update feature, so Windows Update in this case, they would have got the patch and they'd be fine.
Yet, large organizations, some entire businesses are wrestling with this. There are car factories in Europe, Renault, that had to curtail production today because of this. Clearly, some large organizations don't have the automated systems in place.
So organizations are trickier. They've very often got customized software that runs that's critical to keeping the business going. And usually in those sorts of environments, these updates are not taken automatically. There is a central IT team who tests these things, make sure they all work, and then push them out. Now, that is then dependent on humans. And obviously what we're seeing here is that we've got some humans in some companies who, for whatever reason, just didn't push the patches out in time.
Now, if we step back and just look at this class of malware, ransomware, gets into your computer, encrypts your files, won't unencrypt it unless you pay the money. Would you pay the money? You might not know if you get the de-encryption key back.
Well, that's the trick. There's no guarantees. But part of the issue also is that many of the variants of ransomware that we've seen have actually provided decryption keys, and people have gotten what has been advertised. And the reason that's sort of alarming is that it does incentivize people to pay.
Now, if a computer is affected, the files are encrypted by this malware, and you don't pay the ransom, is there a way to get your data back?
Well, this sort of comes back to the backup strategy. Certainly one way out of this is to rebuild the machines that are infected. That's not fun, but it's something you can do. And then restore the data from your stable, reliable backups, and you're back up and running.
All right. Troy Hunt is a security trainer and a Microsoft regional director based in Gold Coast, Australia. Mr. Hunt, thank you.
Thank you very much.
French President Emmanuel Macron was inaugurated over the weekend, and his first week of work starts with a visit to German Chancellor Angela Merkel. This is a French tradition. Here's Annie Baxter.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is a powerful figure in the European Union, and it might be hard for some people to see Emmanuel Macron's visit to her as a meeting of equals, according to Brad Setzer, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
At the same time, I do think that the relationship between France and Germany can only work if it is a little bit more balanced.
Macron has expressed interest in steps that would mean greater fiscal integration within the European Union, like an EU-wide deposit insurance fund. Nicolas Veron is a visiting fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says Germany has been reluctant to embrace such measures.
Germany is very cautious about any fiscal integration because the perception is that this is other countries raiding the German taxpayers' money. Even so, that's actually not an entirely accurate way to put it.
He says the Merkel-Macron relationship certainly starts on good terms. Both leaders want to strengthen the EU, but it's not clear how much progress they can make together.
If only because Germany faces an election itself in late September.
So this, he says, is just the first inning. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Another big story we're following today, crude oil. Its price is up more than 3% this morning in New York, with big oil producer Saudi Arabia pushing to keep production limits in place. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.